had a preacher ask me this week if, he says, if you changed your preaching style lately. And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I just sort of start everything and then wind up in the pulpit. And that's what I said. And then he said, well, you know, some people are just preaching right now from the main aisle. And he said, I know one preacher who's preaching from the pew. He just sits down in the pew and preaches, and everybody just relaxes. I said, I'd do that and go to sleep. When I pastored the International Church in the island of Aruba a long time ago, everything's a long time ago anymore, but in the spring of 1976, they were celebrating their 40th anniversary as a church. And at that time, the community church in Aruba was one of 96 international churches around the world that were there for the purpose of having English worship for Americans and Canadians and really anybody else who's there who felt comfortable coming to worship on Sunday morning. So someone asked me once, what was your membership? And I said, zero. We didn't have membership because everybody still had their home church. And that's the way that church always operated. But that 40th anniversary was really something, and we wanted to make a big deal out of it because I was the last full-time pastor for that congregation because Exxon was getting out of that refinery. And it took another 8 years for them to finally close it down completely and sell it. And the church during that eight-year period was served by part-time or stated supply ministers. And I had the good fortune of hiring my replacement. I was the pulpit committee. How about that? Nice thing about not being Presbyterian, you didn't have to worry about a committee. I was absolute. Well, anyway, and he hired his replacement and so on over the 8 years. That church now is a historic thing on the island of Aruba. It's not used for worship, but once in a while it's used for weddings. I understand. And we opened our cornerstone on the 40th anniversary. The cornerstone was set at the very entrance of the church on the floor. And we had it pulled up and we opened it to see what was inside. And there was a Twinkie, and no. There was a newspaper, there was a Bible, there was a stack of bulletins from worship services, and a slew in a container of pictures of members of the church from 1936 when the church was founded. And we had them all out on display. The cornerstone is on the floor. Now, the cornerstone here is over on the corner of the Helmuth Hall. It says McLeod Memorial 1946. That's the cornerstone. There isn't one on this building. So the cornerstone is there, and it's a reminder we were born sometime, someplace, for a reason. And the cornerstone idea is very important, I think, for all of us, because the cornerstone really depends on each one of you. Each one of you. It's not a building. Open your Bibles or your tablets, excuse me. I've learned the tablet Bible has better print than we have. I know it's larger print. This is Ephesians, And it's a very special book to me. I can remember it since walking in the streets of Ephesus where Christians were like you, there was a majority of Christians in Ephesus. And they wanted people to know what their faith was all about because that was a booming market town. Let's read our lesson for this Lord's Day, starting with verse 11 of the second chapter. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, still, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Powerful words written by Paul for the church at Ephesus. Powerful words because of the many meanings are there. And as we look at this, being a Christian or a church member is no longer the norm in 2015 in the United States. It's no longer the norm. A recent Pew Research study that was released to the church, and I'm sure some of you have read the same thing that I'm going to be sharing with you, it shows those identified as Christian has dropped from 78.4% in 2007 to 70.6% in 2014. And it's still dropping. And they say probably in another 5 years, those who claim to be Christian will be less than 50%. How's that? The non-affiliated, that is, members of a Christian church, in this same time period increased from 16.1% to 22.8%. Mainline Protestants, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, Lutheran, the main line that most of us grew up being a part of, dropped from 18.1 to 14.7. And that prediction in the next 5 years is less than 10%. Who will be mainline Protestants anywhere? Presbyterians dropped from 1.76 million in 2013 to 1.66 million in 2014. Now, statistics are statistics. There has been death that reduces membership. But for the most part, we're talking about people who don't want to be affiliated. Hey, this is no big deal, my friends. In terms of churches, it's also affecting Rotary clubs and Lions clubs, service clubs of every description all around the United States and the world. People don't want to belong. It's too demanding. The weekend's too short. I need to have more time for myself. I see the churches around us that are saying 9 o'clock contemporary, 10 or 10:30 traditional, or vice versa. We're going to put a new sign on ours outside. Judy, wave. We're putting a new sign on that metal board that says blended worship, 11 o'clock. Do you like that? Huh? Might be a hook. I think we're informal. I think we're comfortable. I don't know. But I don't need an orchestra playing to tell me I can do that because my tap dancing days are over. Here in McLeod, while small in number, we have a stronger, larger witness than churches twice or three times our size. Isn't that amazing? That's a statistic worth taking out the door with you. On the other hand, too, when we talk about a national average, we realize times have changed. Times are still changing regarding church membership and being a Christian. Today's lesson is talking about a church as a building with Christ as the cornerstone and a strength from whom the whole rest of everything exists. I said before I came up to the pulpit, you are the church. You're the cornerstone. You are. And this is what Paul was trying to impart on these people who weren't sure what this thing is all about. The faith we proclaim and the faith we present are two different representations. Think about it. How many Sundays have you come here empty inside, not really remotely interested in being in church, let alone hearing somebody pontificate from a pulpit? How many of you come on a Sunday, I'm coming out of habit? And then how many of you are coming out of need? And then suddenly through the hymns and through the choir, through scripture and through prayer, something connects and you're touched. One little thing. And you're touched in your mind, in your being. You felt growing stronger in your faith. That's the business of the church. It really is. It's not really to be an editorializing session. It's never meant to be that. But to expose the good news of Jesus Christ in such a way that you feel better because you were here and because you shared with other people the same way. even across ages. We're no longer alienated from God. But we are learning that in being closer to God, we should be aliens to a society around us. We are to be at odds about negativity and false values. We are to accept being a new household in faith every time we come here and leave here. It's a beautiful thought. We can become a new family in faith every Sunday. With Christ as our cornerstone, we're a new people. That's what Paul is saying. We're a new people, a visible building. We are. I'm a building and you are too. Of Christ for all the world to see, that Jesus makes possible a viable and a visible alternative to the way that the world thinks, to the way the world acts. A new people by water and the Word. How special it was this morning to have the kids here and talk about what they're going through with school. And They're going to be you. That's what we were saying. God bless them as they grow and learn and mature. The new cornerstone. Pray with me. God, we're grateful your Spirit touches our lives. Spirit excites us, even when we're dulled down and not really interested at all. In your Word or in... Forgive us. Motivate us, excite us for Christ. Amen.